Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about PTs communicating with surgeons. We talk about PTs working as strength coaches, and we give some recommendations on some books you should read before heading into physical therapy school.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're up here in Boston, Mass.
Whatever.
Boston, Mass.
Wicked kid.
At Champion PT and Performance Kid. See, I can turn on the accent if I want to. Lenny's character always has that accent. I have multiple roles in my character. We're having a silly day today.
My accent is fast talking.
Let's go backwards. I'm here in Champion with Dan Pope, fitnesspainfree.com, Dave Tilley, shiftmovementscience.com, and Lenny Macrina, championptandperformance.com.
Google.com. Give me some time.
He's on Gmail.
AOL.
Hey. We're here with JoJo Coplow from Stony Brook and Travis T-Bone Step from University of Kentucky. What was the other one we said? KFC?
KFC,
the University of Kentucky. Some good friends of ours there. So awesome. Who's that? Travis, you starting it up?
Sure.
Let's do a T-bone.
Okay, so first question, Vian Vu from San Jose. Hey, Mike, great post from Lenny on ACL graft choices. Great to consider the info for rehab. Would we use this info to educate surgical candidates, or would that anger surgeons if the patient's choice based on info is different than the surgeon's choice? How do we avoid stepping on their toes in regards to all scenarios like this?
So this is a good one, Len. So for those that don't know, Lenny wrote a fantastic article on my website, I don't know, like a month ago. Well, you could be listening to this in 6 years, I guess. I don't know. In the spring of 2017, Lenny wrote an awesome article on my website. You should check it out. But it's about ACL graft options and talking about the pros and cons of them. So this is a great question. I feel like I've gotten this question a ton of times with like some DMs online or just some people tweeting at us or something like that. It's like PTs want to say like, all right, what do we do with this info? Do I tell patients what to do? Like, right. What do you tell them, Lenny?
I do. I tell patients what to do. Just knowing, you get a kind of a feel of the surgeons in the area, who they're going to see. You hope you can see them pre-op because we know that the outcomes are better if we can do some pre-op rehab on them, but that's a different blog post for a different time. I think educating the person going into the surgery is huge. I do it on a daily basis, I feel like, when I see a pre-op ACL, and give them the pros and cons and trying not to, put your spin on things. The research, to me, is pretty clear-cut for younger athletes that the patella tendon is the gold standard. Yet I'm seeing a ton of hamstring autografts, and I'm seeing a decent amount of allografts that come through the door. And to me, we talk about it all the time here. To me, the research just does not scream to do those other options. To me, it's patella tendon. And quad tendon, in my opinion, is a very good option that I think not a lot of surgeons are doing for some reason, and I don't know. I'm trying to pick the brains of some of the surgeons I know to figure that out. But
so when the patient comes in and says, what do I do?
Yeah, it depends on their goals, depends on their age, it depends on their previous history, depends on the structures that are involved, but I'm taking all that into consideration, and I'm going to begin at a patella tendon, and I'm going to work my way through and to maybe work it down.
And so I agree with Lenny. I believe education is powerful. You need to know these things here. But there are some things we got to consider. Right? If you go in there, guns blaring to your doctor and saying, I want this because my therapist said so, I think that's challenging for the therapist. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, my two cents is that I think that it is important that we're the people who know these things, because more and more, I mean, sometimes they don't see a doctor for 2 weeks, and they're really like, Google, is like their worst enemy. So I think that we have people all the time. I have people who are like, we'll tear their ACL and like literally like next day text me like, hey, like, someone tore their ACL, like, what do you think? Like, we're kind of scared. And, like, just, like, talking about all that stuff is important. But, two, I think, is like you had just touched on, I think if you present it in a way that's a little bit more, you know, tactful, I think that the surgeon is like, wow, this PT considers graft options and, like, knows research. Like, wow, this guy's, like, you know, maybe he's helpful. And I think if you don't, like you said, kick the door in.
I think 90% of doctors are going to be pissed at you still.
Yeah.
If you're trying to exert bias.
No, I don't think bias. I think Lenny said just like the overview of what the literature presents.
I don't know.
Young and naive.
Is maybe our role if somebody comes to you and says, hey, the surgeon I said I could do either A or B, and we help them with that versus, man, I'm super worried. If we go, I mean, let's not say names, but imagine a doctor.
Yeah.
There's plenty, right? And imagine a patient's telling him, hey, Dave Tilly just said I should do quad tendon or whatever like that. And the guy's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can handle that.
I don't think it's like that I said so. It's like I was at my PT and we talked about there's a lot of different graft options and they have pros and cons.
But you can't control how the patient phrases it. And they're going to phrase it that way. When he says, hey, I want to do, he or she says, when you want to do hamstring, they say like, well, I want, you know, I don't know. I heard from my therapist that quad tendon's better. They're going to be annoying.
I'm going to spin that a little and make people upset, especially docs, but maybe I don't want to work with that doctor if he can't handle my opinion and he or she is set in their hamstring autograph way, or like we talk about a lot here, there's some docs that are all allografts, high level athletes getting cadaver grafts, and to me that is not a good option for them. There's so many reasons why the literature is screaming it, and I just don't know if I want to work with that group.
Oh, that's a good point. If you have a real strong preference or preference is the one where you have scientific evidence saying allograft's a bad idea for an athlete, right? And maybe you jump in there, but I still think you got to be tactful. But
one thing I really think, this is something you guys have shown me. I just want to... you got to find a good doc, right? You need a doctor to trust. I mean, we see this all the time. You see a bunch of baseball players. Sometimes some surgeons will over-tighten these guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We see a lot of people that go to a surgeon has no idea about CrossFit, and then they end up with problems because the surgeon didn't realize what they wanted to get back to.
Right.
Right.
So I think a lot of times it's not just us educating them about certain types of grafts, where it is. We got to give them to the right doctor. We got to trust the right surgeons. I mean, the right surgeon with the right information about research, it does this every single day. That's done it for years and years and years. You know, we're going to look up to someone who has good experience like that.
Right.
So a lot of times I think it's not like just educating people at the graft, but just like nudging them in the right direction as far as the doctors you trust.
That's a good point.
Yeah. There are many surgeons that are willing to talk to the PT and just talk about whatever, talk about different surgeries, talk about different rehab protocols, so to speak. I had a great talk last week with a doc from Children's Hospital here in Boston. Awesome. Loved it. Building that rapport with that guy. But then there's many docs that are just set in their ways, just like PTs and or any other profession, and they just don't want to hear it. That's what they've been doing for 20 years. It works. It's tried and true. And that's it. You're not going to break that wall. So, you know.
Nice. All right. So I guess in summary, tread lightly.
Respect the research and educate.
Yeah, you're a professional. You have a valid point, Gil. Yeah. All right, let's roll.
Zach from Pittsburgh. Can a licensed physical therapist coach athletes at a performance / strength and conditioning center without a referral? If so, what limitations does the PT face? Is direct access limited to 30 days?
Okay, so a PT doing strength training. All right. Yeah, you got like two weird things in there. So let's break this up and first say, can a physical therapist do strength training as a strength coach? The answer in Massachusetts is definitively yes. Mm-hmm. One, you're definitely qualified. Two, anybody off the street can. there's no licensure. There's no like anything in Massachusetts that says you need to get licensed to be a strength coach or a personal trainer. Some states, maybe. Some states, do you have to get licensed by the state of Kentucky or New York? Do you know?
I would
say the answer is yes. The second part of you about direct access and stuff is the second, this isn't injury rehab and it's not insurance based. Direct access doesn't matter. 30 days, whatever else you said, none of that really mattered. Yeah. But that being said,
do you ever just do strength stuff with people?
You were a strength coach first.
Yeah, it's tricky.
That's different.
The first thing I think about that question you're asking is that most insurance companies are not going to cover anything sports-based in general.
That's a good point,
all the time. Like, as soon as you, like, jump with a patient, like, whoa, we don't cover jumping. That's too much.
No, we cover dressing and bathing,
It's cool for 6 hours. Really careful with that. If you're going to be trying to get insurance coverage, you got to be clear about the insurance is actually covering. And that's probably the most important thing. And that would happen a lot in my clinic. People would come in and they're like, oh, I just want to like get evaluated, work on some sports performance stuff, and I want my insurance to cover it. It's like, we can't do that. I'm sorry.
That's a good point.
It's going to come back on me. That being said, this is why this we have a great situation here because I'm free to do as much strength and conditioning work as I want, you know?
Right.
It's just that we got to be careful about insurance.
Right.
Coach, two-hour workout.
I would say the only thing I would throw in here just to add to that, too, is I'd say as a physical therapist, are you really the best option for them to – I'm a physical therapist. I'm a strength coach. Dave's a strength coach. Right? Dan's a strength coach.
Hey, I'm strength coach.
I mean, we're all strength coaches. You're strength coach. We're all strength coaches here. The primary profession of being a strength coach is going to do a much better job as you. I would really urge you to find people to collaborate with instead of trying to take on the world yourself. You certainly wouldn't be happy if the pitching coach you're working with or the golf instructor you're working with were trying to give corrective exercises to someone, right? That's not specific to that. Don't flip the switch and try to do it yourself. I would kind of just
Dan
say that.
Dan has a whole online strength and conditioning business that he works under. So, like, you are doing strength and conditioning type stuff, and you're good at it, and
yeah.
people seek you out. That's, like, your primary thing. So I think people can do it if that's your niche, so to speak, and they understand that they're getting a wellness type, I want to get strong.
We should do strength conditioning and PT, and we do it as part of our rehab. To me, the difference is Dan was a strength coach before he became a physical therapist.
Right.
So he's actually, this is like the PT, it sounds like here. If you're talking about direct access, then you don't get
like
strength
you're
training.
PT. It's confusing the world.
Yeah.
With something.
Like,
going on.
I think you should collaborate with some strength coaches.
And look at your state practice act, because that's going to trump everything.
All right. Let's go number three. What do we got? T-Bone.
All right, so the next one is Thomas from Vancouver. We'll be going for a Master's of Science in Physiotherapy in Scotland this coming January.
Sweet, St. Andrews.
While I have looked at particular reading lists for my future classes, are there any big rock prerequisite physical therapy, anatomy, physiology books that you believe a prospective student should read before going into physiotherapy school?
All right, let's flip this around. Let's all pick one book. We'll say one book that you think a PT student.
Grey's Anatomy, but not the book, the show.
A Netflix.
Real life.
Especially season 3 through 4.
Anatomy, boy.
Well, not an anatomy. A book to prepare for PT school.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Green Eggs and Ham.
I'll start. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, because you're going to get all your education in school. You got to learn how to communicate and talk to people.
Mine's kind of similar. I was going to say Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, the new that's a good way
if
to start
your
career.
Before I started school, things would be a little bit different.
Yeah, I like that. Ego is the Enemy. I like that. Who's the author again?
Ryan Holiday. Boy, the Obstacles to Ways is another really good one.
I thought great books. Yeah.
I'm going to flip it around too a little bit. I think it's too hard to pick just one book that's going to help from like an anatomy perspective. This is a podcast, but I started listening to something called the I Love Marketing podcast. I think it can be very different for anyone else, but I think as physical therapists, we need to learn how to market ourselves a little bit better.
Right.
Because in general, it's not just you need to get more people through the door, but you got to convince people that you're good, right? One of the biggest things that you need as a physical therapist is just to convince that person that the information, the advice that I'm giving is actually going to help them. If you can't do that, then they're probably not going to get better, even if you have the best possible advice. So I think that physical therapists, two things, need to be better at marketing themselves, being better entrepreneurs, and also selling themselves to people.
Nice. That's three things, technically, if we're counting, but I like it.
Yeah.
To that point, to sell as human. I think, I believe is that Daniel Pink?
Yeah.
I think that's Daniel, but to sell as human is right on that point. It just talks about how, look, it's all sales. Everything you're trying to do, if you're trying to manipulate them in a quad tendon graph because you have an investment in a company
that
sells quad tendons. So I think moral of the story is why don't you actually use this time to diverse yourself, right? And become a better communicator, better human, better marketer. And
you'll learn all the academic stuff.
That'll help you more than anything else. So that's three, right? Awesome. Good. I like it. Good. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it. Head to iTunes and please subscribe, rate, and review us. We appreciate that. Go to MikeReynolds.com and click on the podcast link and ask us more questions. We're here. We'll answer anything you guys want to talk about. We're having a blast. So let's keep it up and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.